sure most of us are familiar with that Disney cartoon called The Three Little Pigs. You remember the first little pig? He was building his house with hay, and he got out there and he built his little house with hay. But when the wolf came, I mean, no, he huffed and he puffed, and that house went down real quick. Then you have so he ran to the next little piggy's house, and that little piggy was building his house of straw. The wolf came there too, and he huffed and he puffed and blew that little house down. So the two of them ran to the third little piggy, and the third little piggy had built his house on a sure foundation. He had built it upon a rock. He had built it out of bricks so that when the big bad wolf did come, and the big bad wolf did huff, and the big bad wolf did puff, he couldn't blow that house down. That is, by the way, in the Word of God. You find it in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. It says, "They that build upon a rock, when the wind and the waves come and beat against it, it will not fall." But those that build upon sand, do you notice there's a word right there, it's called build. They were all building. All three little piggies were building. In the story of Matthew chapter 24, it says there were two houses, two people building, but one didn't build the right way. In other words, if you and I are going to have excellence in our life, if we're going to have excellence in our ministry, there has got to be a right way to build. It is not by happen chance. It's not haphazard. It has to be planned out. You see, if you and I are going to have a success and excellence in the ministry, in our personal lives, in our marriage, it's going to demand a plan. Did you hear me? It's going to demand preparation, and then it's going to demand follow through. When I went to flight school, one of the very first things they taught me as a pilot was you plan your flight and then fly your plan. As a scuba diver, that's the same thing I learned. You plan your dive and we dive our plan. How many know that is a secret to success? It doesn't just happen. You do that in the air as a pilot, you don't plan your flight, you get up there, you just can't pull over. You have to know how much fuel you have in that tank to get you the distance you have to go. How much fuel do we have in our tank? Do we have enough to take us the distance that God wants us to take? This is not an accident. You're not an accident, by the way, to be here, and you'll find out more about that as we move on. Now, in the book of Judges, there are three fantastic treasures that will work in my personal life, but more importantly, right tonight, it's for us corporately. I want to talk to us as a corporate body. As leaders, are you catching the picture? As leaders, that's what we are tonight. We are leaders tonight. If you're serving in this fellowship, you are a leader. And if you're serving, then that's true worship to God. Did you know that? I have a lot of people that lifted their hands when they sing, but how many know that's not worship? Because worship is service to God. I need to be in service to God. How many know that means you can't be flip-floppy? That means you can't be at this church one day and the next church another day. It's called commitment. Jesus, when he delivered the Israelites from bondage, he said, "Let my people go. They're slaves to you. I want them to be slaves to me." You are going to serve one or the other. There is no middle ground. You will either serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or you will serve the prince of the power of this earth, the devil. But you are going to serve one or the other. How many know that when you and I choose to serve him and get in service to him, which is true worship, he is going to lead each and every one of us to the promised land, a land that is flowing with milk and with honey. Now in Judges chapter 13, because I don't have time to read all 25 verses to you, let me give it all to you in a nutshell. This is the story of the birth of Samson. And he's the husband. And his wife gets a visitation from whom she calls a man of God, though it was an angel. And the man of God came to her and said, "You are going to give birth to a son. He will be a Nazarite from the womb, from his birth. Therefore, do not drink any wine, any strong drink. Do not touch any unclean things, and don't cut the boy's hair." You know, there was a reason for that. Do you know to take the vow of a Nazarite had a... It could be male or female. You'll find that in the Bible. It's male or female. And it had a minimum term of 30 days. After 30 days, if you wanted to break the vow of a Nazarite, you went to the temple, you stood at the steps of the temple, and you shaved your head. Do you know what you were telling people? I am no longer bound to the vow of a Nazarite. That's why when he shaved his head, he was saying, I'm no longer Samson. I was no longer bound to a Nazarite. Are you hearing me here tonight? So he was a Nazarite from the womb. And so she runs home and she tells Manao, she says, a man of God came to me and said, I'm going to give birth to a child. Even though I am sterile, even though I am barren, I'm going to give birth to a son. And he's going to be a Nazarite. I can't drink wine or strong drink. I cannot touch unclean things. I'll not shave his head. Manao said, where is he? I want to talk to him. Listen, he said, because I want to know how to raise this child. And he prayed to God and says, God, bring the man of God back so I can know how to raise this child. And the angel came back and spoke to the wife again. And she ran and got her husband, and they ran out and said, please tell me, what is the course of this life that's in the womb, going to be in the womb? And how do I raise him? And then the angel of the Lord said, listen to what I told her before. Don't drink any wine, no strong drink, don't shave his head, and do not touch any unclean thing. And then verses 15 through 24, Manao goes to offer up a sacrifice for him. In verse number 24, it says, and then Samson was born. The first treasure I want you to understand is there is always provision for every promise God gives you. There is always a provision. Are you listening to me? The problem comes is sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction. You see, the provision for that promise was in the loins of Manao. That was not the Immaculate Conception. Are you catching the picture here? See, it's always right there for us. God would not ask us to do anything if he had not made provision for the promise. It's like you being here. You think God made a mistake when he started this church? You think God made a mistake when he brought you here? You think God did not give us what we needed to get the job done? But maybe sometimes we're looking that somebody else is supposed to do the job that you are supposed to do, that you're called to do. God did not make a mistake when he planted you here. He didn't make a mistake when he called your pastors here. He didn't make a mistake when he called this fellowship to be a fellowship to win the world to Jesus Christ. Are you catching that? You go and you look at Abraham. Bible says that Abraham was 99 years old. How many know he didn't have a seed? Sarah didn't have an egg, but it was not the Immaculate Conception. Unless Abraham, at 99 years old, by faith, went into the tent and got intimate with his wife, there never would have been the birth of an Isaac. See, so many times we're looking in the wrong direction. It was in his loins. When Abraham went to offer up his son Isaac up on the hill, halfway up the mountain, he could have stopped. But how many know provision was at the top? Sometimes we have to go all the way. We can't stop halfway up. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there is a widow woman. Her husband, a man of God, has died. He left them in great debt. The debtors are coming to get the kids to take them and use them in servitude. But the man of God shows up, Elisha, and he says, please listen, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? What do you have in your life? What do you have around you? We're always looking somewhere, but God always has a provision, and it's normally right in front of you. Let me ask you this question. When you go to a forest and you look in the forest, what do you see? The common answer is trees. But you have to see beyond the trees. You have to see the house. You have to see the eloquent furniture. You have to see the fine cabinetry, or you're never going to have the guts to go out to the tree and out to the forest and harvest the wood. Are you catching the picture there? See, it's there. The completion, it may not be completed yet, but everything you need to build that house is in the forest. But I've got to see it. I've got to go beyond just seeing a tree. That's why that term came up. You can't see the forest for the trees. All we do is we see the trees. It's all there. Everything we need, the provision that we need to succeed is there. But we may have to go cut it down. We may have to sand it. We may have to varnish it. But every provision that you and I need is right there. It's probably right in front of us. Exodus chapter 15. Israel is brought out of bondage. Moses leads them out to bondage. They come to the bitter waters of Moriah. It's a wonderful scripture because here they are murmuring and complaining, about ready to stone Moses. Moses goes to God and he says, God, help. And the Bible says that God showed him a tree. See, the tree was already there. Your provision's probably right there. You don't build a road by getting out your shovel, leaning on it, and praying. But that's what a lot of Christians like to do. They don't want to work. They want God to do everything for them. It's not going to work that way. We have a part in this program. God put me on this planet with destiny. Put you on this planet with destiny. He gifted every single one of you. Every one of you have gifts. Every one of you have a talent. Every one of you have abilities. But the enemy has come up with an extra luggage to suppress you. So how do we get rid of that? We get out that fork and we start doing what? Putting holes in the canoe. We're going to sink that canoe. We're going to sink the things that are holding us back so we can run the race that is set before us. You do have gifts. You have talent. And they need to be what? Expressed. And your preparation, by the way, tonight is not lost time. When Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, that is not lost time. Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that rightly divides the word of God needs not to be ashamed. So preparation is not lost time. When you and I are preparing, it's not lost time. That's point number two, and I'm not there yet. But the provision's always in front of us. I better get back where I'm at in the provision. It's always there, right there in front of you. I know a man that had a wonderful collection. He had it in the fat times, but when the lean times came, guess what he had in front of him? He had all this provision. He was able to sell that collection, take care of what needed to be done in the lean time, and then when the fat times came back, he restored the collection, listen to me, and went beyond. Sometimes provision's there, we just have to look. One time I said, Wendy, we need to go, and had to go on this trip, and I said, but honey, we don't have the resources right now. I need you to pray with me. And Wendy left, but an hour later she came back. You know what she said? She said, honey, we have X amount of dollars in this account. We have X amount of dollars in this account. We have X amount of dollars in this account. She listed six accounts that I had forgotten that we had. We just have money sitting over there in them. How many know that's okay to do that? Hello? And there was more than enough to meet that need. Hello? It was right there all the time. I could have bawled and squalled. You go back to the tree was there all the time. He showed him a tree. When he put the tree in the water, the bitter waters became sweet. See, Jesus has given us a tree. It's called the tree called Calvary. He can make any bitter situation in your life sweet. Sometimes we're crying out. We're looking in the wrong direction. Your answer is Jesus. Your answer is waiting right in front of you right now. So many times we love to run to somebody else. Why not run to the source to begin with, and then you can forget everything else? Hello, are you catching the picture here? He can take any situation that's bad and turn it around for good. He is Almighty God that has a destiny and a plan for your life. Y'all getting anything out of this? Genesis chapter 37 is the story of Joseph. Had a vision, he had a dream that in seven fat years, he would be able to store up to provide for seven lean years. There's a provision for you and I, no matter which way we go. With every promise, God does have a provision for us. That's point number one. Point number two. Y'all getting anything out of this? Point number two is there's preparation for the promise. So there's provision for the promise, but how many know where there is preparation for the promise? I made an emphasis when I read it to you out of our text, Judges chapter 13. Manoah said, how do I raise this child? He wasn't going to wait till the child was born before he prepared. What's the call on this boy's life? What do I do to prepare him for this calling? See, Manoah and his wife were willing to prepare 9 months in advance. Are you all listening to me? They were willing to prepare. When I found out that my wife was pregnant with our son, John Thomas, I did not wait until she was in the operator, or what do they call it, delivery room, to decide to pray that she wouldn't be in pain. That is my wife. I love that lady right there. We've been married 30 years. She's the princess of my dreams, the queen of my castle, the crown of my masculinity, and I don't want that woman in pain. So I opened this book, and I went through this book, and I wanted to find out, what did it say about childbirth? I wanted to find out, what did my wife have to go through in childbirth? And I found out all she has to go through is she delivers it in travail, and then she can get up and sing. She doesn't have to go through 30 hours of back pain. She doesn't have to go through all that kind of stuff. It's not in the Word of God. We went to a natural childbirth. Isn't that incredible? We had to be taught how to birth a child naturally. That was, you know, and they said it was okay to have 18, 20, 30 hours of back pain. I looked at her and I said, baby, they just programmed you that you can have that. And I'm telling you, by the authority of the Word of the Almighty God, you are not going to go through that kind of stuff. Hello. For 9 months while that little boy was in the womb, every single night for 9 months, I snuck under the sheets and I started impregnating my boy with the Word of Almighty God. His mama was singing to him. His mama was reading the Word of God. We were preparing our hearts to deliver that promise to a world that needs my son on the great late planet Earth. Are you all catching the picture? We were preparing for his destiny. And by the way, when my wife had her son, gave birth to our son, she didn't even know she was having major labor. I called the doc up. I said, doc, my wife's, I think, having contractions. He said, what do you mean, think? Well, doc, every 45 seconds, she says there's a pinch. He says, you better get her to the hospital. Got her to the hospital, and I believe it was 28 minutes later, she popped John Thomas out and then said, I want to go home. Let's go play. I have a doctor friend. They just gave birth to their first one. When she found out they were pregnant, they said, Jay, what do we do? And I shared everything I just shared with you. Popped out that baby in 1 hour without any of the problems. And she did go home that night because she did it at a delivery center. Hello. What are we doing? What am I talking to you about? It's called preparation. We want to prepare. We look at sports figures today. For example, Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys just signed a 6-year contract for $67.5 million with a $30 million guarantee. Do you listen to the figures right there? This is a professional person that is being paid $67.5 million for a 6-year contract, and he prepares for every game. I wonder how much preparation we put into our church service. Oh, how was that? Was that good? How many love me now? Are you catching the picture here? 67, they're pros, and yet they practice. They watch the films, and they go out there, and they know the game. They have been playing the game since they were 8 years old. They've been playing the game 14, 15, 16 years, and yet they still go out and they practice. That's called preparation, because the hardest part of success is preparing to succeed. Are we really preparing to succeed? Are we preparing today for the thousands of people that are going to show up in this building? Are we doing today what we want to do tomorrow when there are 1,000 people in this building? Well, this won't hold 1,000 unless we do 10 services. But we can do that. Our church does 6 services. We're opening a brand new, I get to go home in time to open a brand new campus. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let me talk about preparation. See, we need to prepare in advance. Why do we always like to do things at the last minute? I'm very honored that I start these cowboy meetings for Bible studies, for ropers and for rainers and so on and so forth. And I'm always telling the ones that we give the Bible study over, you need to prepare. You need to show the people where you're going. Don't wait till the last minute. If you're going to have a prayer meeting, know what you're going to pray about. Now, there's times we just have prayer meetings. I think you normally have that Sunday night. You have a prayer meeting here. Is that right? But there's nothing wrong with preparing for a prayer meeting. I tell them, prepare, because when you get the people there, what are you going to do? Look at each other? You ever wonder why people don't show up for prayer meeting? Because we look at one another. You're awful quiet. I told you, this is for us. I'm a part of this. This is as much my church as it is yours. I have an investment in this church. I have money in this church. I got life in this church. Are you all catching the picture here? Huh? So don't anybody get mad at me tonight. And if you feel like I'm stepping on your toes, get up and dance. Got the picture here? See? Because there's a whole world out there waiting for what you have to offer. God did not make a mistake. I mean, I'm like so proud of your praise and worship leaders. I was doing cartwheels today. to watch your growth, watch what you're doing, watching the gift that you are come out. You don't have to stand back for anybody. There's a glorious gift, and it's exploding. And I watch you prepare. Isn't that wonderful? I'm really proud of you two. I want you to know that. I'm proud of your passion, but I'm proud of both of you. You all still glad I'm here? Preparation. Our church has, when we have every January, we start off with a fast, 40 days or 21-day fast. And we kick it off with a prayer meeting. You know how many people come to our prayer meeting? Over 2,200. And we only can seat 1,773 in our sanctuary. We have 6 services on the weekend. We're opening a new campus. Do you know why? We plan 3 months in advance for a prayer meeting. Let me instill you with a wonderful idea. May I? Can I kind of just throw out an idea? You ever thought about when you have a prayer meeting, you know exactly what you're going to pray, and that's what you pray, and everybody's got 5 minutes, and it's all orchestrated? You say, Jay, how could you do that? Because there's a God that's very orchestrated. We think God's always happen chance. That just so, no, he's well orchestrated. But when we do something, let me throw you this beautiful idea. You're going to love this. Are you ready? When they have their time of prayer, and you, because you're the worship leader, and you want to pray for the worship, and then the other person who's ever charged are greeters, and the Sunday school teachers, and whoever it is, and Steve and his crew back there, each one gets up, and they get to pray their vision and their dream, and it's a few minutes, it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. In 1 hour, what have we done? We have just impregnated everybody that comes to the meeting with what they get to pray for. So prayer meeting is not just for that few minutes. That prayer meeting is for what? It's to impregnate people with a vision. It's to impregnate them where we're going. It's to impregnate them what we're doing. So I try to instill with cowboys. It's all right to be prepared. It's all right to do it in advance. We want to prepare. Did anybody catch the vision of that one there? Because when you get up there and do that, and you say, we're going to have a 1 hour prayer meeting. How many know what a 1 hour prayer meeting is? It is 60 minutes. Do you know what a 61-minute prayer meeting is? That's an abomination if you announced 1 hour. Don't get mad at me, please. Because you gave your word. You're telling the community. You're telling the church. We're having 1 hour prayer meeting. How long should the prayer meeting be? 1 hour. If it goes on, you lied. How am I doing now? Now, there are times, like probably your Sunday night, we just want to come because we want the heart and mind of God. We do that all the time. Let me explain to you. Last Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, I'm in my den playing my guitar. I do that when I'm home, normally at least once a day, normally 2 times a day. I go in there, I shut the door, and I just sing. I play my guitar, I sing. God speaks to me the day before Thanksgiving and says, I want you to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night. That's Thanksgiving night. He tells me the people I feel I'm supposed to call. My wife makes phone calls for 20 people. 17 showed up. The 18th was out of town. His wife showed up. That's not bad. You call 20 people and 17 show up, that's a pretty good prayer meeting. That's pretty good odds. You say, Jay, but it was on the spur of the moment. No, it wasn't. For months, I've been in that same room, praising my God, worshiping my God, singing to my God, getting a hold of God, preparing their hearts for what God wanted to do, and watching what God did when they got there. It was preparation. Is it all right for us to plan for a prayer meeting 3 months in advance? Can we prepare for a corporate fast 3 months in advance? Can we prepare for what God's going to do next months in advance? Just throwing that out to you. Because I think sometimes we're late. And how many know opportunities lost are lost forever? We get it one shot sometimes at this deal. That's all we get. I'm so honored this young lady came. I get one shot. I hope I'm doing good, honey. I really hope I am. I get one shot at you. You know when people walk that through the door, you get one shot. That's it. That's why you are excellence. You don't have to stand back for anybody. You guys are doing great. You're the first ones. That clock strikes 10:30 and you guys, bam, you hit that right there. They get to see it. You're unloading on them. They get one shot. We like to trust the Holy Ghost to do it. How many know we represent Him? Isn't that cool? I don't know about you. I think that's really an honor. We get to prepare well in advance. I'm almost done. You all getting anything out of this? You're all very quiet. Bible says in Ephesians 1:4 that He chose me, chose you before the foundation of the world. You all do notice I'm speaking to a whole corporate body today. I'm a part of this fellowship.
Yes, amen.
I'm speaking to all of us. It says He chose me. When did God choose me? Before the foundation of the world. Then why do we wait until the last minute for the messages we're going to present? The way we're going to deal with the service, the songs that we're going to sing. And I know you practice on Tuesday nights. I didn't know I got a little birdie, did you? You catching the picture here? It says in Romans 8:29, those He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Is God unorganized? Is He well prepared? Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thy seed and the seed of thy woman. He was talking about His Son, Jesus Christ. It took Him 4,000 years of preparation before He presented the promise. 4,000 years. And then another 2,000 years for you and I to enjoy it. If anybody could slap their hands together, twitch their nose, and let it happen, it's God Almighty. But He prepared for it for 4,000 years. Can we prepare for our services in advance? Can we let people know where we're going well in advance? That's what I try to tell these cowboys. How can you lead somebody to beside the still waters, to the green pastures, if you get up there and always preach like a scattergun? You hope you hit somebody's heart. That's not the way it ought to be done. Isn't it terrible that so many times in Pentecostal circles we're always waiting for God to move? How come He can't move first? In my prayer closet, in my heart. Like He did with my prayer meeting. By the way, we have that happen all the time. That's not happen chance. We're prepared. We call up and have couples come over. They all show up. When we make a phone call, because my wife and I have been preparing for months before we ever have them over. We sing, we praise God. Their hearts are prepared, and they come over. Sometimes we'll just do a movie. You say, Jake, can people really get set free in a movie? You would be surprised how many people come to my house to get set free watching a stupid, dumb movie. Laugh. You say, it doesn't sound very spiritual. That's because you're too spiritual. Huh? Sometimes they just need a good laugh. Was out of Oklahoma, I think it was, and I took two couples, their pastors, burnt out, fried, cooked, not in ministry anymore. Took them out and watched a movie at the theater, which I don't go to very often. They got loose. You should have heard they were like at Starbucks afterwards. Just made them laugh. Prepared. Are you glad you came tonight? I threatened him. I told him I was going to punch both his tires out. And I was going to be his worst nightmare if he didn't show up. That man was highly motivated to be here tonight. If I don't get done for anybody else, I'm going to get done so he can get home with his beautiful family. Huh? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Why do we have to wait till the last minute to decide what we're going to pray? Can we plan for a prayer meeting in advance? I believe you got leadership that wants to go exceedingly, abundantly beyond where we're at. I believe God's anointed them. He's giving you anointed people here, giving you faithful people back there, Steve and his wife. Y'all catching some of you I've seen around here since the millennial, like Linda. This couple here always meets you at the door. What beautiful treasures. What a gift. Need to give that to somebody else now. We need to get more. There's a lot of jobs that need to be filled. We get to start it. We get to be prepared. We get to do it. God's not unprepared, beloved. We don't need to be unprepared. God can move in this meeting if He moves in me first. I don't have to wait till the last minute. Most of my messages, I prepare for them well in advance. I'm weeks in advance. Once it's booked, I start preparing. I prepared for this before when it was short notice. And thank you so much for letting me come. I'm really not worried about who's not here tonight. But I'm so grateful for all of you that are here tonight. Yes, this is for you and I. It's not for everybody. I hope you're getting blessed. If I need to dance for you, I would. That was a good place for you. Go for it. Thank you so much. I don't mean to embarrass you. You please forgive me, okay? Thank you. Notice I didn't wait anymore. God waited 4,000 years and sent the provision. So the first point is there's always a provision for the promise. Has God given us a promise?
Yes.
Did God make a mistake about this church?
No.
Did he put the right gifts at this place at the right time? Then some of us need to do what I shared with you this morning. Get the tape and sink the thing that's holding you back. You need to sink the hurts. You need to sink the failures. You need to sink all the things the enemy is keeping you from walking forward. Number one is there is a provision. It's probably right there in front of you right now. Number two, there's preparation for it. And then there was something else when he was preparing, and this is really important. In verses 15 through 23... is where Manao, what he does is now he's going to prepare his heart. He does something fantastic in that portion of the verse. He doesn't know this is an angel, so you know what he does? The man, he calls him a man of God that delivered the word of God, and now he wants to offer a meal up to him. He's making a value judgment. He's now going to put his life into the word that he is going to receive. In verse number 17, he says, angel, what is your, man of God, what is your name? That I may pay you tribute or honor when your child, when that promise comes to pass. How many know that he received that promise right then? You see, if you can, like Manao, hear what I'm telling you and see what I'm telling you and receive what I'm telling you, then we can achieve together, just like Manao did. And so he offers up this offering. Now it's a burnt offering. The angel says, no, make it up to God. He still doesn't know. It's called a value judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, know those that labor among you and esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. It's called a value judgment. I know you take care of your pastors, but when he drops a golden nugget into your heart and into your life, that's the time to highly esteem them in love. It's not your tithe. It's not your offering for the church. It's when you walk up and you say, this is a promise that I got, and you plant in the man of God. You plant in the woman of God. It becomes a burnt offering. He laid it on the rock. You know what that meant? Here it is. You do with it what you want. It's yours. Whatever you want, it's yours, Lord Jesus. It's a burnt offering. Not for the building. It's not the tithe. It's a burnt offering. It's the one that you sometimes give to the poor. That's a burnt offering. It just goes. But he was esteeming the promise. He had received the promise. He heard about it. He saw it. He received it. Please watch what happens. Are you ready for what happens next? He does the offering. And as the smoke ascends, how'd you like to be there? As the smoke ascends, the man of God that they think is a man of God gets in the flames and ascends up to heaven. That's a confirmation of the promise. That was supernatural confirmation that what I just told you is going to happen. Why? Because now he had prepared his heart for it. I like Manea. He was a great man of faith. He saw that and said, oh my God, we're going to die. And his wife, she goes, honey. God did not receive our offering. God did not show us all these things to kill us now. He did it with a purpose. He prepared us for such a time as this. That's the same thing that Solomon did. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse number 6. It says that Solomon offered up 1,000 bullocks. Anybody know how many you were required to offer up? Would you like some help? One. What did Solomon want to do? He wanted to get God's attention. Did he get God's attention with 1,000 bullocks, when all he had to offer was one? That's all that was required for every person was the same, one. But Solomon offered up 999 more. He's making a value judgment on his life and the life of the Father God. And if some of you are just like me, that's overwhelming. Isn't that overwhelming? I don't know about you, Pastor, but that overwhelmed me. Because I wanted God's attention. I really did. And I said, God, I don't have 999 bullocks to offer you. But then I realized the provision for the promise was right in front of me. And I had something very precious in my life, very valuable and very precious, because all I wanted to do, are you listening, is just get God's attention. And the provision was there. I thought I didn't have it, but when I looked, it was there. When you want to get God's attention, you'll find it. It's right there for you. And I like it when he got God's attention, God said, what do you want? He said, I want to know how to lead your people. Can we get God's attention tonight? We want to lead God's people. There's a mass of humanity out there waiting for us. Got the picture? Am I doing okay yet? And then there's a presentation. What's that? The promise came forth. How long did it take? 9 months. We don't have to be slap happy anymore. We can prepare in advance. We can know where we're going. We can know how we're going to do it. And when I'm prepared, I kind of liken to our church. How many don't mind if I just throw a couple things out? How many know you got 6 services? That's a lot of services. But you know the songs are always the same? Because we're taking everybody in the same ship, in the same direction, to know the same things, to keep us corporately one. There's leaders here that there's gifts in you. You need to let them go. And watch God bring in the rest. There will be a presentation of the gift. Amen. And Samson was born. I mean, God's made a provision for you tonight. Amen. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad you may hurt, no matter how much confusion is in your mind, God made a promise. And that promise was his son, Jesus Christ. He said that he came and gave us life, and life abundantly. If I'm hurting today, how many know the provision is right here, right now, right in front of you? And his name is Jesus Christ. There's been a provision for your promise. You know what it is? It's Jesus. And he's well prepared, because he has been preparing for 6,000 years to meet you this night in this place right here, so that you can enjoy salvation instead of sin, health instead of sickness, love instead of loneliness, happiness instead of despair, faith instead of fear, abundance instead of lack, prosperity instead of poverty, good instead of evil, life instead of death. I wanted to get you out of here in 1 hour, and I have 2 minutes left, and I'll have you done. Hallelujah. And there will be evidence of presentation, because you will walk out of here whole, you'll walk out of here healed, because God did not prepare all that time for you to fail. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you so much. If you're here tonight, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want to ask you a question. Can you see it? The promise? New life, abundant life, a brand new start, a clean heart. Would you all pray this prayer? Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me so much that you gave your son, Jesus, just for me. I receive Jesus. I'm born again, and I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? I got born again. I met Jesus. I'm new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Some of us are carrying luggage of failures. We've served God. We're away from God. How many know he prepared for that too? That same prayer is the same prayer that's going to get you delivered tonight. Set you free. Put one foot in front of the other. God's not judging you. He wants you to win. He manifested his son. He prepared for it for over 6,000 years. For this time in your life tonight, to walk out that building differently than you came in. If you need prayer tonight, I'll be here. My wife will be here. They'll be here. Your pastors are here. I know you got prayer teams. We're ready to pray. Don't leave here with a need not met. God prepared for it. And the evidence of it, the presentation is, you'll walk out with a twinkle in your eye, authority in your voice, healing in your mind, joy in your life, and a spring in your walk. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Thanks for being here. I'm done, in Jesus' name.